Now, according to the King's speech, you want to remove all foreign bases from British soil, you want to scrap nuclear weapons, and go neutral.
Not a lie. I will do it by negotiation, not by force.
I'm authorized to warn you. If you jeopardize the Western Alliance, my government will be forced to regard that as a hostile act.
Neutrality equals hostility? Isn't that a peculiar use of the language?
Don't misunderstand me. Now, your industry is in a shambles. It's not your fault, it's what you inherited. But you need help to put it back together again. You need dollars. And nothing is for nothing.
Go back three spaces, Marcus. The message I'm hearing from you goes like this. If we want the cooperation of the United States, we must change all our policies. Right, well, try this for size. We have an overwhelming mandate from the people. In plain language, they are sick of being an aircraft carrier for the United States.
Ray McAnally there as fictional British Prime Minister Harry Perkins confronting American Secretary of State Marcus Morgan as played by Shane Rimmer in the 1988 Channel 4 miniseries A Very British Coup. The series won four BAFTA awards, including Best Actor for Ray McAnally himself in the main role of Prime Minister Harry Perkins. A Very British Coup was based on a 1982 novel of the same name by former Labour MP Chris Mullen. Now Mullen is back with the long-awaited sequel, The Friends of Harry Perkins, set 10 years into a post-Brexit Britain. Declan Burke has been reading the novel and he joins me now. Let's start with Harry Perkins and who he was or is or was once upon a time, I suppose.
Well, was Declan. Once upon a time, because the new novel starts with the very first line tells us that Harry Perkins has just died.
Mm.
On the same day, actually, that America declared war on China. But we leave that for a moment. Harry Perkins was a British Labour Prime Minister who, in a very British coup, was brought down by elements within the British establishment, the deep state, some rogue elements in MI5 and so forth. So they sabotaged his government and essentially caused the great fall of Harry Perkins.
And all sorts of parallels were drawn at the time between Harry Perkins and Harold Wilson, and suggestions that they were close resemblances.
Yes,
or how fictionalised was it?
Apparently there had been persistent rumours that, you know, from the mid-1970s that the Harold Wilson government had been targeted by quote-unquote rogue elements of the British establishment. And when Peter Wright's Spycatcher was then published in the mid-80s, it seemed to have confirmed those rumours. Now, Peter Wright subsequently wrote back on some of the allegations in that book. But certainly a very British coup was it was supposed to have fictionalised these rumours, yeah, and was certainly popular, as one reason for its popularity
and
was a consequence of that.
May have exaggerated them slightly, the way you can do in fiction.
Well, absolutely, and you know, it is satire and it's done for comic effect, yeah, and so forth, so absolutely.
And Chris Mullen would have been very close to that. He wouldn't be close to that particular set of politics because he was only a child at the time, but he was a Labour Party MP.
Oh, he was,
for
absolutely,
a long time.
And look, you're absolutely sure that he would have been, you know, wandering up and down the corridors of power with his ear firmly to the ground. And I'm sure that once you're kind of in the smoky back rooms, that this is when all the great stories come out. So whether it was true or not, certainly there was a whiff of conspiracy about the book.
Right, OK. So he was a Labour Party candidate from 1987 through until 2010. And here he is writing about a post-Brexit Britain. It's impossible to predict anything about when Britain will or won't or might be post-Brexit. But he has decided that it definitely is post-Brexit. How far away, 10 years, is it?
It's 10 years into post-Brexit Britain. We're 10 years into after Brexit took place.
And does he get into whether there was a deal or wasn't a deal, what kind of a deal there was or wasn't?
He doesn't get into too many details, unsurprisingly. Now, he does give his vision of what post-Brexit Britain will look like, and this is quite early on, and it's her first sense that this may be, you know, not the savage satire that possibly Brexit Britain or post-Brexit Britain might deserve. He writes, "Brexit Britain was a gloomy place. True, the Armageddon that some had prophesied had not occurred, but neither had the economic miracle promised by the Brexiteers. Instead, there had been a long, slow decline into insularity and irrelevance. At the UN, there was talk of relieving the UK of its seat on the Security Council." So that's not a particularly bright picture, but at the same time, once we, you know, get into the story, we realise that not a lot is that different. I mean, the two-party system, effectively the two-party system in the UK, still prevails, and people are still relatively polite and civil to each other, at least across the House and so forth. And while the country economically isn't thriving, you know, we don't have barbarian hordes, you know, swarming the wasteland in cannibalistic fervour.
Which would make for a much sharper satirical quill. So what Chris Mullen has done here seems, at first notion anyway, seems to be slightly soft sell. But we get entered Fred Thompson. Who is he and how does he become who he then becomes?
Well, Fred Thompson is the main character in the novel. He is one of the friends of Harry Perkins in the original novel. He was Harry's kind of confidant, his aide and so forth, so he was privy to everything that happened. Once Harry Perkins was brought down, Fred abandoned politics and took off to the wilds of Scotland, where he has since, he's married to Diana, they have two young children, and he's eking out a meagre living as a freelance journalist, and really has no interest in politics at all. There is a committee that come together, the friends of Harry Perkins, and they're looking for what is effectively a compromise candidate, somebody who isn't from the so-called loony left and isn't, you know, about to topple over into the Conservative Party at the same time. So, and they come up with Fred Thompson because he has these links to Harry Perkins but hasn't been tainted by the allegations that were made against Harry Perkins. So they put it to Fred, will he run for the leadership
at this point? Well, He has to run as a candidate first, and then if he succeeds, run as leader.
That is
and
correct.
I guess that's as far as we should go with the plot, because the joy is finding out what does and doesn't happen in that scenario.
Yes, absolutely.
But you mentioned America going to war with China. So what kind of America do we get in this novel, and how important is it to the story?
It's not very important at all. I mean, you would think when a first line like that, you would think this is going to be integral to the plot. In fact, what Chris Mullen does is there's kind of maybe a glancing reference in every second or third chapter just to let us know that these epoch-shaking events are taking place kind of off stage, and Britain has no part to play in them. You know, if they happen now, God forbid, we can imagine that Britain will be dragged in on one side, well, probably on the American side, as some kind of ally or so forth. But America have no interest in asking Britain to be an ally in any kind of world war, because, and this is the extent to which Britain has rendered itself irrelevant.
So the old special relationship is not so special anymore in this new Chris Mullen.
Less special than it is now, Sean, one might say.
All right. I guess the other thing that you would expect from Chris Mullen, given that he was an MP for so long, he knows Westminster, he knows the way deals are done and deals are not done, and the political chicanery that goes on, or doesn't go on, if you're not that cynical. How does he treat that particular aspect of things?
I really liked that side of things, because Fred Thompson, he knows the way the system works, as Chris Mullen does, as you say yourself. Bizarrely, Fred tends to make progress in this novel as a consequence of help from the other side, from the Conservative, a Tory backwoodsman is the way Chris Mullen describes him, who seems to be a decent and upstanding Conservative, doesn't like the way his party is going, and starts slipping him bits of information about some of his less than salubrious peers on the benches.
So do you think Mullen is making any sort of a suggestion here that, you know, the reality is Labour Party, Conservative Party, in the corridors of Westminster, we're kind of all buddies, and we are at least helping one another along.
To a certain extent, they're indistinguishable from one another. Possibly, I think what Chris Mullen is doing, he's having a Tory character slip bad news about MPs across the aisle so that he isn't making allegations. So the allegations are about kind of slum landlordism, about the illegal importation of economic refugees. Heaven forbid we might suggest that a Labour MP would be involved in such shenanigans. So what we have is a Tory MP slipping the information.
Perhaps Chris Mullen's Labour background, his Labour roots, are showing just a little bit, are they?
Just a little bit, but you know what? He has fun with the Labour Party too. He pokes fun at them. My favourite line in the book, for example, is when Fred does go on the campaign trail, and he seems to be a Tony Blair-style kind of populist character, and he's espousing a kind of populist message, quote-unquote, a message many on that no compromise with the electorate wing of the party didn't wish to hear. And there seems to be a prod or two against the way Jeremy Corbyn, for example, runs his party, and the kind of party that Labour has come post-Blair.
Post-Brexit, but post-Blair as well. So Do we get specific mentions of, in fact, Jeremy Corbyn or Theresa May or any of the big names that are part of today's story?
No, all of the politicians that show up here are fictional, and you would be really struggling or grasping at straws to say that they're kind of versions of contemporary politicians. As you say, we're 10 years into Brexit here, so we have to assume that there's an entire generation of politicians have been decimated.
Now, while he has the good sense not to predict whether it's a deal or no deal and to go into the specifics of how Brexit happened, he just says it happened and now we're 10 years on. Does he look at perhaps why Brexit happened? Does he? Is there any kind of analysis on that? Because I think he goes a little bit far back into history to kind of suggest where that all started.
There's no doubt about it. I mean, the more things change, the more they stay the same. For example, at one point he says, with each new crisis, the public was becoming accustomed to the sight of grim-faced unionists marching up to Downing Street to present a new list of demands. So he's very timely in relation to what's happening now. But there's no doubt that Chris Mullin is laying the charge of Brexit at the feet of Margaret Thatcher. And not just Brexit, it's the irrelevance of Britain, and it's also, he seems to be suggesting that the hollowing out of particularly the working class in Britain over the previous couple of decades, he says, Thatcher, that woman's got a lot to answer for. All this anti-Europe nonsense started on her watch. Flogging off the family silver didn't work out too well either. Look where we are now, a second rate power going on third rate. So there's no doubt Margaret Thatcher
gets
the blame.
Does the polemic, let me just give my political message, is it confined to a page or two, or is it hammered over the head
I wouldn't say it's hammered. I think what he's looking to do is tickle your funny bone. Every now and again, there are flashes of a line or two here, and yes, he reveals himself. He's not making any pretense that he's not an ex-Labour MP. And you know what? A lot of people might happen to agree with him.
All right. A very British coup made to the television. Do you think that the Friends of Harry Perkins will?
I would hope so. I think it'd be a really interesting piece if it came, particularly
in have you got a cast member? Have you a cast member for Fred Thompson?
In my mind, it depends if they go slightly older. You're looking for someone who's quintessentially British, sincere and so forth. I would think maybe Hugh Grant or someone like Colin Firth, I think, would do a terrific job. If they go slightly younger, someone like Martin Freeman, I think, would do a terrific job at Fred.
All right, well, there they have three possibilities from you, Declan Burke. Should I read the book?
Oh, absolutely. It's great fun.
That's Declan Burke speaking to us about The Friends of Harry Perkins by Chris Mullin, which is published by Scribner.